Welcome back. This is Bootleg with Mina Kimes. I'm recording live from Miami. My guest this week, who is sitting across from me shimmying, was that a shimmy, is Mike Ryan, the producer of The Levitard Show. Mike, on a scale of 1 through 10, how hard does my song slap?
It slaps 10 times over.
Is it a bop or a banger? Or
no, like, it's a slapper. It's a slapper.
It's a slapper?
It's a slapper. It's good music. I love that
song. It's really good, right?
It's really good.
Do you think it goes with my personality?
Absolutely. That's what makes it so good.
Thank you. Thank you. Everyone keeps saying it's really disincongruous, which I think is an insult to me.
It is. It is an insult to you. I feel like I'm here just so you can build up to Stugatz. And if you want to build up to Stugatz, you need to stop using big words like disincongruous.
Disincongruous. I use decontextualized to talk about quarterback play on HQ. And as soon as I said it, I felt like I looked at the feedback and I saw Pablo Torre's ghost on the screen and I hated myself. Before we get into things with Mike and football related, thank you to everybody who sent a question. There were a lot of questions, which was basically my ploy to get ratings and reviews to boost my podcast, because I heard somebody told me that that works. So, but I am going to answer. So it's too many questions to answer all at once. Humble brag, but I'm going to answer like 10 of them in a row chronologically. I will answer them all. So keep listening.
You're going to have a mailbag segment?
I'm not calling it a mailbag. I haven't caught that of like a cute name.
A cute name?
Right.
Well, either way, the concept seems revolutionary.
This not only is the first podcast to exist, it's the first mailbag to exist on a podcast. I mean, there are great questions. Like, for example, Christmas Claus asked, who would win in a dance contest between Jameis and Fitz? Obviously, these questions were sent about a week and a half ago when they were topical. Deshaun could dress Fitz, it's a caveat. And is this how all quarterback controversies should be decided? Obviously, yes. I love that he could have been a she, Christmas Claus.
Yeah, 2018.
I love that they incorporated the notion of Deshaun dressing Fitz, because I don't know if you relate to this, but I am the type of person where I dance much better if I'm wearing like a costume and I can kind of inhabit the spirit.
The old mask theory for the actor. You put on a mask, you're freer.
Exactly. Well, it was like, you remember the time I was Elmo on this show, although I was terrible that day.
So you were indeed Elmo. You embodied Elmo. You weren't Mina. You became Elmo.
It was so bad, too, because as you noticed, it blocked my peripheral vision, and a lot of doing the Levitard show, for the people who watch, is there's a lot of interaction between the shipping container where Mike sits and people in the studio, and because I had a oblong-shaped mask, I literally could not turn my head to the right. Well, I gotta answer the question, though. Fitz or
you gotta answer
Deshaun.
It here or in the mailbag segment? That's not called a mailbag.
This is a teaser to the mailbag?
Okay.
You know about teaser.
Yeah, whet the appetite.
Radio 101, maybe. One would assume Winston, you know, stereotypes would play against Ryan Fitzpatrick. But after that Eat the W thing that he did,
still I haven't been able to shake it.
I can't shake. Every time I look at him, man, it's so appalling.
Yeah.
Do you think his teammates think about that
yes.
when he tries to, like, call a play? You can't get past
No,
eat
that's
the
why
w.
the team has backed Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is definitely, like, the white guy at the wedding who hits the Quan. Is that the thing? Do Quans get hit still?
I don't know. Do Quans get hit
still? I don't know.
Billy, put it on the poll.
I'll go with Fitzpatrick. Who do you think is the best dancer of any quarterback in the NFL? Before we move on to the football.
Wow. I was not prepared for this. Baker Mayfield. Have you seen the GIFs?
Yeah.
Did you see him at the
I haven't seen
the rookie showcase?
Whatever word you just said, I haven't seen. I have seen some GIFs of Baker Mayfield dancing.
No.
So
you call them the New York Giants? Do you call them the New York Giants?
You might be wondering, after all this sass he's giving me, why is he here? But it's for a reason. Mike Ryan is a huge NFL fan, and most of our communication is about either our dogs or the NFL. Specifically the Browns. I made the mistake of expressing, like, socially some interest in his team. And as a consequence, he now texts me between 5 and 7 times a day. Really obscure. Not even exciting Browns news. Like, the other day, so I'm on Pacific time, and I think I was woken up at like 3 a.m. to a Mike Ryan text about, I don't know, like a practice squad guy getting cut. It was during the summer. So thank you for that. But yeah, you are the biggest Browns fan, probably at ESPN. Is that fair?
I don't know any other ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. Keith in fantasy might have something to say about that.
Keith Law?
Keith Lipscomb. He's our fantasy guru guy here who helps us on the research side.
And if it were Keith Law, I would.
Yeah, he's a huge Browns guy.
All right. Well, you got some competition. But so obviously this is going to be the most Browns talk. However long this podcast lasts, we will never have more Browns talk than this moment.
So sorry.
And, no, but we will talk about, you know, five games per usual. We'll do Thursday night football which is, you know, a good game, I'd say, at the end. Is it a good? No, it's not really.
It's not a good game.
No, no,
it's not a good game.
Patriots Chiefs probably the best game of the weekend.
Probably.
Yeah. Although I actually think Chargers Browns is a good game. So
it's going to be the funnest game.
The Chargers Browns is going to be the funnest.
Oh, we know exactly how that game ends.
I don't know about that. Well, okay. So, let's start there.
Chargers at Browns.
Wow, this has polish.
I wanted to add the imaging because when I listened, I went back and listened to my podcast and I felt like the transitions were too subtle and that people could benefit from some demarcation. But man, that is abrupt.
You know, there are emails to that voiceover artist, Cutler. There are emails every week. Hey, can you give us Chargers at Browns? And no one ever thinks to repurpose just him saying Chargers from the previous week at from the previous week, from the previous week.
Redo it every
Mike,
time.
Can I just tell you that when I told her that we were going to get Cutler to do voiceovers, she definitely thought I was talking about Jay Cutler.
You should get Jay.
What's he doing? Totally reasonable thing for me to
totally
say.
Totally the best.
I think I wrote back to her, wow.
You don't have the budget for that.
Wow, really? That'd be amazing.
I'm surprised you have the budget for Cutler.
How come no one at ESPN asks me to do voiceovers? Like, can you imagine... I don't know, Fantasy Focus, and all of a sudden they're like, Seahawks at Niner!
That's precisely why.
Let's talk about the Browns. First question I want to ask you is, just looking back, so I went back and I looked at all of the Browns drafts over the last 5 years, and, you know, we got Weed, and we got Justin Gilbert, we got Mingo, who's actually been okay on the Seahawks, obviously Menzel, Corey Coleman. I mean, it's, you know, disaster central. Do you think, however, that this last draft is the best Browns draft of all time and could potentially change the direction of the franchise forever?
Already is. Already is.
Let's talk about it.
I was so sad when, I wanted Baker Mayfield, number one. But when the Browns passed on Bradley Chubb and took Denzel Ward, a smaller corner out of Ohio State, I was really mad about that. And quarter into the season, I'm so sorry, John Dorsey.
Yeah.
He's already the best corner in this division. Is that a stretch to say?
Okay, Steelers, yes. Bengals, so maybe. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Ravens, Carr.
Yeah, I would say the Ravens. Jimmy Smith just came back, is quite good. That secondary is pretty good. But, yeah, it's not a great, not a lot of good cornerbacks.
I know, it was a trick. That's why I said that.
What makes him so good? Like, what is so good about
him? I'm impressed with his ability to tackle. I think he goes up for the shoulder tackle probably a little too much, especially for a smaller guy like him. But he's a playmaker, man. He's a ball hawk. Yeah. He's going to get thrown on sometimes, which, you know, ball hawks do. But I'm just so impressed by his ability to seal the edge every time. Yeah. And over the last few years, a running back got out to the outside. Our corner certainly wasn't going to stop him. And he's a sure tackler. And even though he's not the tallest guy, he's very long and lanky.
He's kind of little, right? I think like 5'11 or something. I remember during the draft thinking...
He goes for all these kill shots, too. I don't understand it. He loves hyping himself up and his booming hits on social media. I don't understand it at all, but he's a part of the greatest Browns draft class ever. Okay. And you could already say that because the quarterback hasn't embarrassed himself yet.
Yet,
but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I want to stick with the defense for a second because I agree, it's a phenomenal draft already. Who else did they
even
draft?
Even Callaway.
I was going to say Callaway
who's been a little inconsistent and sometimes plays to go disastrous, a ball bouncing off of his hands into the arms of a defender for a pick six. That happened in Oakland. Some bad drops along the way. But just what he did in New Orleans with the game on the line, catching that slightly overthrown pass from Tyrod Taylor and getting his feet in the end zone. He's one of those John Dorsey guys. All the talent in the world, very high ceiling, lots of off the field concerns.
Well, the thing is, the 2017 draft is now showing out, right? So Garrett, we knew, was, you know, a freak
Yeah.
He's like one of those, I hate using, it's such a cliche to call a guy like him a freak, but then you watch him and you're like, that's a freak. Like, he's
no, he is absolutely a freak. Peppers is playing a little better.
No, that's what I want to talk about, because I feel like you're really hard on him. And when I went back and watched some of the Ravens game, he was really fun around there. You know, he's really good against the run. And, you know, he's a little bit dicey in coverage. I know you've been angry about some of the returns, but...
he's the worst returner in the league.
Well, and that's to stop using him there, right? But the dude can lay the wood. And I think he really benefits from the presence of, you know, Ward, and I think Randall has been playing
well,
big,
Randall,
unleashing him.
Randall's essentially a part of our draft class from last year, yes, because you use Kaiser to get Randall.
And then, you know, David Njoku, I wouldn't say he's completely... Well, he was what? First round, actually. So I don't think he's quite lived up to his draft status yet, but there's potential there.
Not yet, now that he has a quarterback.
Our beloved Larry Ogunjobi was also class of 2017. So, you know, you're seeing these picks. It is funny because I don't really think it was like they were necessarily bad picks at the time. It was more just, you know, that they didn't have... I mean, it's amazing the effect that I guess a quarterback, to be quite blunt, can have on the rest of the team. I think this defense has the potential to be a top 10 defense in the NFL. I was just... They're currently, DVOA, which is Football Outsiders Efficiency Metric, finally is starting to matter now, because through the first 4 weeks, it doesn't take into account competition, so it's not entirely useful. Now we're starting to get that. They are second in DVOA right now, 30th in offense, but that reflects some...
That's all Tyrod. That's Tyrod.
It's not all Tyrod.
It's all Tyrod.
We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, this is a team, they're fourth in passing DVOA and seventh in rushing DVOA, so they're balanced. Their total yardage numbers are not, like, they're 26 in passing yards per game, but that doesn't matter. You want to look at the efficiency numbers. I think they're still just 22nd sack ratio, so I think you could see some improvement there in the pass rush. Do you think Garrett, the combination of Garrett, Ogunjobi, has that lived up to your expectations?
Yeah, and Ogba has been hurt for much of this year, and he's starting to work his way back. I think we're probably playing Myles Garrett a little bit too much. If you see his snap count, it's absurd.
Right, yes. Why?
They found it to be a good idea to cut Nate Orchard and Carl Nassib in the preseason.
Hard knock stars.
And as soon as Ogba went down, you realize probably not the greatest thing in the world, because I don't think Garrett missed a snap following the Ogba injury when they played at New Orleans. And I think the sack production would come if you gave Myles Garrett a little bit of rest, because he's not one of these leaner pass rushers. He's also a pass rusher that's really good against the run.
Yeah.
He works really hard. He doesn't check out as soon as the quarterback hands it off. So that's hard to do for a guy that's on the edge. So you need to give him as much rest as possible.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he was an early contender, not just, I think, for defensive MVP. So he was an early favorite for defensive MVP. He was one. He wasn't certainly not one or two. But
Khalil Mack stole everybody's soul.
Yeah, I mean, that's gone. But I think you're right. If they don't ease up on his usage, especially down the road, and they don't, you know, they don't really have a lot of depth on that defensive line. Another thing that jumped out to me from the Ravens game was the offensive line. In particular, the left tackle, Desmond Harrison, right?
Yeah, another John Dorsey special.
Okay. Well, he got worked by 80-year-old Terrell Suggs.
That's a hard match.
And that's a concern for me going forward with Baker. And now we get to talk about Baker, which is that I the offensive line is fine, but I think you're starting to see some cracks, and that's starting to affect his accuracy and his play. And I wouldn't pin that on Mayfield. I would pin that on his protection.
They absolutely nailed it, though, with Harrison. Low risk. We're talking about Terrell Suggs.
Right.
That's not the easiest matchup for anybody. And that's a really good, solid defense that's going to apply pressure on an offensive line from all sides. How old is Suggs?
He is 35. Yeah, man. That's insane.
Yeah. And he looks every bit of it, and he's so big and strong. I actually thought, grading on a curve, thought Harrison was fine. I got really encouraged by the fact that he's been calling Joe Thomas and getting tips every week from Joe Thomas on how to block guys. Suggs is a guy that Joe Thomas has blocked effectively, and Harrison's, you know, not terrible for the first week. I think worked is a little too strong. Baker, it's good to have a quarterback. Answer me this. Why is Baker more effective at getting away from pass rushers than Tyrod? Because Tyrod, his nickname is T-Mobile.
Right.
When he makes up his decision to actually go run, it's effective. But in terms of being able to move around in the pocket, Baker's already surpassed him.
I have a lot of thoughts on that. Because, by the way, Mayfield was sacked 5 times in that Ravens game. I mean, that's too much pressure for his, you know, I like him a lot. I think he's great. But for him to develop and continue progressing, you can't have that, I guess. So, granted, the Ravens are one of the better defenses in the NFL. Tyrod, it is a really good question. In the game where he was so terrible and got hurt and Baker went in, I think he actually got rocked pretty hard early on and might have been hurt. He was not... I know I get accused of being a Tyrod defender, and I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he can be a good quarterback in the right situation, but what you're seeing out of him, what you saw, I think, in some of these Browns games, and you saw sort of towards the end of his Bills career, was he was trying too hard to not run, to not be that guy, because he was told, you know, not told, but basically offensive coordinators for so long, and not, especially towards, again, the end of his tenure in Buffalo, we're asking him to not do that, to stay in the pocket, to be a pocket passer, a different sort of like a rhythm quarterback. And that's not who he is. And I think sometimes if you're a quarterback who is mobile, a dual threat quarterback, and you are forced into a box, you start playing against your own skill set. And I really think that's what we saw with Taylor, to be quite frank, near the end of it.
I think Mayfield's probably going to get beat up a little bit in this game, even though that the Chargers are without Bosa. The Browns' offensive line does like to do this thing where they just forget to block an edge rusher occasionally. And credit to Baker, even in overtime, he was able to turn some plays out. I'd really like to see Duke Johnson get more involved in the offense.
Yeah.
He signed that 3-year extension. He's been largely invisible despite leading the team in snaps last week.
Really?
He's not. Yeah, he had 40-plus snaps last week, but he only had 5 rushes and he only had the 1 catch. I feel like that is such a dangerous player, especially against a team like Los Angeles that struggles with pass-catching running backs. This would be a really good matchup to get Duke Johnson involved, and it would be a hell of a way to help out that offensive line and your young quarterback.
How are they using all the running? Because going into the season, I was very confused by the Browns' decision-making with regards to paying and signing running backs. They seem to have 300 of them. And I haven't been tracking, you know, every now and look up, I'm like, oh, wow, Carlos Hyde's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I always like that guy. Or, oh, there's Nick Chubb. Hey, he's still on the team. Like, how are they deploying them, and how would you like for them to deploy them?
Puzzling to me. I thought that the whole idea behind signing Carlos Hyde was, I think you had this exchange with me. I was puzzled as to why they signed Carlos Hyde, and you told me his numbers outside of the shotgun, in the shotgun formation, are really good. So I expected to see more shotgun with Carlos Hyde. I'm really confused as to how they're divvying up the snaps. Nick Chubb won Rookie of the Week with 3 rushes and 100-plus yards.
Oh, yeah.
I think the most frustrating part is getting Duke Johnson a little bit more involved, especially when you've lost Higgins now. You're without Josh Gordon. Jarvis Landry is really a possession receiver, even though they're trying to use him kind of different. And Callaway's young. Why not even line up Duke Johnson out wide a little bit, because he's a really good receiver? They need the help.
Yeah, are you happy with Todd Haley to that end?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not just yet. I'm happier with him now that I have a quarterback that's not holding on to the ball and is actually executing a little bit. Baker Mayfield, say what you will, whether they nailed the number one pick or not, I think it's very clear he's better than Tyrod Taylor right now.
He's the best rookie quarterback, too, I think, pretty unequivocally at this point. I would go him, Darnold, Rosen. It's really hard to tell, given
Rosen,
Allen. I mean,
Lamar Jackson. He's been effective in how they're using him.
Pass,
yeah, but I mean, there's other aspects to his game. Yeah, and it's reputed to be a really good quarterback class.
Yeah.
So he's been. There's never been a time that you've pointed to Baker Mayfield, even when he had some turnovers against Oakland. I think all but one was explainable. One was at the end, which was essentially an arm punt. One went off the hands of Antonio Callaway. The miscommunication with the center that had just checked into the game was probably on him. But I point to his performances, even against Baltimore, when they're not putting up a lot of points on the board, and say he did as good as he possibly could in that situation.
I think this is going to be a stiffer challenge than it might seem, talking about the Chargers here, because this is a team that's underperformed so far this season relative to their talent level. Obviously, Bosa's been out. But last week, you finally saw Melvin Ingram eat a little bit. And you know, Derwin James has been incredible. It is so, so depressing to me that I think the Seahawks were one pick away from he went 17, they're 18th. And I can't believe he fell as far as he did. I was freaking out on draft night. He's unbelievable, and he's been just such a multi-purpose weapon for them. And then Phillip Rivers. So I don't know if you know this. I'm like a huge Phillip Rivers
fan. I didn't
know
this about him.
I love him. I don't know if part of the reason I love him is I just respect his game so much. And part of the reason I respect his game so much is he's just torn up Seattle like so often over the years. But I also just love his vibe, which is like what I hope to someday embody in that sort of spirit of like dad at the soccer game who yells at the coach like and gets way too invested in the outcome. Like, I just, there's something about, I find him so amusing, even though he's probably really unpleasant to me.
Oh, he seems very unpleasant. With the move to Los Angeles, which is a bummer because the Chargers belong in San Diego, but with the move to Los Angeles, one silver lining is it's a smaller stadium and the microphones pick up Philip Rivers so well on the sideline. You can hear him screaming at the refs almost crystal clear. Like, I don't know what the Chargers are. When I look through the box scores, they've lost to the two best teams in the NFL in Kansas City and the Rams. And if you really look at those games, I know there was a double-digit loss to Kansas City and the Rams had that game well in hand, but there were just one or two plays that if they go differently, look, the Chargers fumbled a punt twice, and it was inside their own red zone. They missed a field goal against Kansas City. Post-game, Philip Rivers put voice to that, saying, I'm kind of encouraged by how that game went, despite the fact we lost by 10 points. And there were the Derwin James, as good as he's been, he took an interception out of the end zone and went out of bounds right at the one when he could have just easily taken a knee. And that ended up biting them instantly. Right. So I think the Chargers are pretty good.
You mean to tell me that Chargers special teams wasn't, and they made some crazy fluky error? That is shocking. You're right. And now looking back, obviously the Chiefs and the Rams are the two best teams in the NFL. It's not particularly close.
This is a rare game that the Chargers actually have the better special teams because the
Browns
are dead last in the NFL and they're twice as bad as the second closest team.
Before we move on, Rivers, I think, is quietly having a very Philip Rivers season. Fourth in QBR, fifth in yards per attempt, sixth in completion percentage, second in passer rating. Against the Raiders, he completed 80% of his passes for 339 yards. And I think this is from PFF. He was 7-for-8 under pressure for 116 yards. So this is a challenge for the young Bucks. But we'll see how that goes. Okay, we spent a lot of time on this game.
Way too much time
on
the Cleveland Browns.
People wanted the Browns.
You can hear the people unsubscribing.
Okay, let's move on to the next game. Jay Cutler, please weigh in.
I'm not Jay Cutler.
No, I want Jay Cutler.
Panthers at Redskins.
How do you think Jay Cutler would do that, Reed?
There would be a drag of a cigarette before, and you would hear... You know how Lil Wayne starts rapping in his mixtapes by a lighter? Something similar to that.
Lil Wayne, star of ESPN interviews. I think it would be something like...
They're making news. I was so confused by this letter that Johnny Manziel wrote to Baker Mayfield why Lil Wayne is next to. I can't wait. What's the next interview in which a superstar?
Clearly, it works because he got him all comfortable and he said great stuff. All right, I think Jay would do it like this. I don't know. Panthers, Redskins, who cares? All right, Panthers and Redskins. I was much more excited to talk about this game before the Redskins looked freaking terrible. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Panthers than the Skins. But the thing I wanted to say about the Skins is, so before the game, I was like pulling your stats and I was like, wow, they're first in passing yards per game. They really were. And third in yards per rush, which means the run defense has been really good. Actually, the run defense was pretty good against the Saints.
Yeah, it was.
And then they come out and they lay a stinker. And it got me thinking, like, Kirk Cousins, it was never him. It was always the team. And that was just the spirit of the team inhabiting him, which is the guy who, when you look at the statistics, you're like, wow, he's actually pretty good. And then you put him on TV and he does something terrible. And I think that's just Washington football.
Yeah, is Washington going to be the scene that we just don't get a read on all season?
Yes, 100%.
Jason Witten said something during the broadcast that made a little bit of sense to me just from what I had seen, which is, this is a matchup nightmare, the New Orleans Saints, for Washington. They're going to match up so much better against a team like Carolina.
You think so?
And you break down this game, Carolina's really good at rushing the ball. I think they might be near the tops of the league, if not the best. And that's a real strength in terms of stopping the run for Washington. So I'm excited to see Christian McCaffrey and how they actually start using him. Are they going to use the sort of air quotes runs, which is just swing passes, because they're not going to be able to get anything really going on the ground? How much has Cam Newton actually run?
Yes.
I'm really excited about this matchup, even though I think it might be an ugly game, the Josh Norman revenge game.
This is going to be an extremely ugly game. So I'm glad you mentioned Cam running and the use of Christian McCaffrey, because I have to take a couple L's. That should be a segment on the show, like Mina taking
catching L's. Or Jay Cutler, you know. Catching L's, whatever, I don't care.
No, but I do have to catch a couple L's on the Panthers. Two things, really. One, I thought this offensive line would be terrible, and most people thought that. They lost everyone before the season. You know, Norwell was gone, Darrell Williams got hurt, whatever. And they slotted in Taylor Moten.
Moten's been awesome.
He's been awesome! This whole offensive line has been awesome. Football Outsiders has them as the number one run-blocking unit in the NFL. I think PFF regards them highly as well, so I was completely incorrect about that. But I think it plays into the next thing I'm about to say. The success of the offensive line plays a little bit into the next thing I'm about to say, which is Norv Turner, a.k.a. Norvcore, which hasn't caught on, but I'm going to keep saying it, has actually been pretty good. And so I saw someone posted today, the statistics are from Pro Football Focus, I can't remember who posted it, that the Panthers, like most good teams, and the Seahawks last week, but not every other week, are finally using play action more with Cam Newton. And he's been so great with it, like, oh, so many quarterbacks. So in 2017, they ran it on 17% of his attempts. He had a 96.7 passer rating when they did it. This year, Newton is using play action on 28% of his attempts, and his passer rating is 136.
Go figure.
So, yeah, so like, I gotta catch an L on the offensive line, but I think it also plays into they're using play action. Norv Turner has been better than I thought. Which is part of the reason why I think this offense has actually been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Moten, you mentioned Pro Football Focus. I believe Pro Football Focus grades him out to be the best tackle.
Wow.
Either on the left or right side. As soon as he made that switch to right, he's been the best. But the offensive line might have a hole for this game, and it's their center. Khalil.
Yeah,
he's hampered by an injury, and that's a status that you're going to have to watch. Typically, when I bet for entertainment purposes, if a team is missing their center, I automatically fade them. I think this is one of those random games that Washington ends up winning.
You know, the center thing is really interesting. I was thinking about that watching the Cowboys, because I think the Travis Frederick injury is, you know, we underestimate, I think, centers and everything that they do in terms of calling out protections and sort of establishing the tone for an offensive line. And you really see that in Dallas, and I do wonder if that's going to be a huge issue in Carolina as well. One area where they don't have a problem is special teams. I want to talk about the Gano kick really quickly, because I don't know if this is unusual, and I want to run by you. I never, unless it's my team and I really care, I never root for a kicker to miss.
Never?
Is that weird? I think it's like I'm too much of a softie, but it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Seeing a kicker miss.
I don't really understand what's happening in this league, because you move the extra point back a few yards and all of a sudden it's just messed with everyone's psyche. It's unsettled everybody. It's almost as if you remember, if you watch NBA TV, you're shocked every time Michael Jordan misses a free throw. And that's what I remember the NFL being, just free in blitz. It was just free because it's always made. The extra points, and I felt like kickers were never this bad.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where we're like, they're so bad, but then if you look at statistics, they're actually not worse. You know, it's like how everyone's like, SNL sucks now, but then if you go back 10 years, people were like, SNL used to be better in the 80s, and then if you go to the 80s, we're like, it was better in the... You know, I think it's like one of those recency bias.
I love that voice.
The word, I didn't have to do that whole SNL analogy. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but look, it's certainly, clearly not an issue for Carolina. Last thing I'll say about this team is that, you know, they're becoming one of those teams where you think the defense is better than the offense, because historically that's always been the case, but it's really not been this year. This secondary is just an absolute disaster. Although Jace Bradbury held up pretty good against Odell Beckham Jr., but yeah, and Reed obviously was just added, right? But speaking of old guys, by the way, Mike Adams, still in the league, who intercepted
that Eli. Mike Adams?
So picked off Eli Manning twice, 37 years old.
I cannot believe he's still in the league.
I might have made that up, but I think I looked it up during the game because I was so confused.
Okay, so I think my presence on this podcast is just like I'm an off-ramp on the way to Stugatz, which is what all the guests on this show have been building up to. And one takeaway that I have so far, 2.5 episodes in, is you're not saying who you think is going to win all that
Should
often.
Should I have to say that?
Well, I mean,
it's not that kind of podcast.
These are game previews, and I know it's not, but if you're trying to attract a Stugatz, if you're leaving a Stugatz trap, you need to tell me who's going to win.
Well, I picked
the
Chargers for the last game, by the way.
You did?
Yeah, I did. But
I only picked that Philip Rivers is going to have the ball down a score with 60 seconds left. It's been too long since we've had one of those.
That is true. And certainly the Browns would be good. I mean, it's really hard not to go with Washington after what we saw last night, although I don't think that was necessarily indicative Did I say Washington? I meant Carolina.
You said Washington.
See, this is why I don't do picks.
Because you're bad at it.
Well, we were doing power rankings, and I think Carolina is one of those teams where nobody really knows if they're good, right? Despite their record.
Was that a sleepy game against the Giants, or was that a season on the line game for the Giants?
Ooh, I just cursed. Eli scored, I think that was the Giants' first 30-point game in 2 years.
Yeah, that was the Giants' first 25-plus-yard touchdown through the air since week 5 of last year, and Odell Beckham threw it.
Yikes. So I did go with Carolina. I have a lot of concerns about this defense. You know, I was just saying, the secondary is terrible. The pass rush has also been absent, right, which is, again, something we typically associate with this team, with having a good pass rush. Thomas Davis, who is, gosh, if Mike Adams is old, God, Thomas Davis is like 45. So he's back. Julius Peppers also. This team
Julius,
is so old.
This team is ancient.
Oh my God. Greg Olsen is back too.
Oh,
wow.
Is he? Yeah.
This is the average age of the Panthers.
So just you talking this out. I think I'm going Washington.
I'll go Carolina. I think, I don't know. The offense has really been clicking. And for the reasons you described it, I think it's going to be good.
This podcast drops on a Thursday. Can I just monitor, Khalil's health? And if Khalil's out, it's a surefire Washington.
For entertainment purposes. All right, before we get to the final three games, I'm going to do my mailbag. You made me, like, now sensitive about having a mailbag.
Just call it mailbag. What's wrong with it?
I just wrote questions.
Ooh, overproduce it, though.
Okay, if you have, like, a cute name tweeted at me, but, like, nothing weird.
Questions!
As always. I need that Jay Cutler intro. I got to hire, like, a Jay Cutler impersonator. All right, so I'm going to, like, just burn through these, because, like I said, it's a lot. So I'm not going to dwell on them too much. Baba55 asks, what nicknames did you have growing up? They're all so embarrassing. A lot of people call me my initials, MK, Princess Mina. All right, Matthew Reeder asked, can the Ravens offense, specifically Flacco, keep this up all year? Clearly Reeder asked that before the last
keep what up?
No, these were submitted before last Sunday.
Points. Well, answer is no.
There you go, ding ding. Renovatio J, somebody's going to do a really obscene name, and I'm just going to read it, and that's going to be terrible, asks, with the NFL standard of using cheap quarterback contracts, do the Bears wait until the end of the season to see if Trubisky's the guy? I love that conversation in general, and that's longer about the quarterback contracts and whether or not you should have a rookie, like always try to always have a rookie, quite frankly. But yeah, they're going to stick with Trubisky for longer than this season, regardless of how he does. NES301 asks me what my favorite Kanye album is. Ooh, that feels...
I'm interested. College Dropout would be my guess.
College Dropout is my favorite. My controversial take is that 808 and Heartbreaks is a great album.
Really?
Yeah, people
That's
don't
my
like
least
it.
Favorite
I know.
One.
That's, you are the mainstream.
No, I'm not, because my favorite Kanye album is actually Yeezus.
That's
And
weird.
That is very minority.
Somebody should come out. What's the latest one called? I forgot.
Well, the one that's coming out?
The one that just came out.
Isn't that Yay?
Yeah, somebody should. What if I said Yay? Yeah. Would you walk out of the room? All right. PJOV87, that was difficult, asks, will Rodgers win another Super Bowl in Green Bay? Ooh, I don't think so.
In Green Bay is interesting part of it.
Right, because, there's no quarterbacks. There's no Super Bowls in Green Bay, so no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
they're not going to have the Super Bowl in Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, a little loophole there. Jeremy Lanchester asks, power rankings for chicken restaurants, Chick-fil-A, Raising Cane's, Zaxby's, and Urban at Zaxby's, Popeye's, KFC. All right, I'm going to leave out Zaxby's because I'm not a liar and I've never been there. I'm going to go number one, Chick-fil-A.
Again, if you're trying to get Stu Gatz on this podcast, you need to develop some sort of opinion on Zaxby's despite you never being there.
Is that a Miami? Like, is that a Florida?
There's a couple of Zaxby's down south. Not necessarily in Miami. I've seen a few in Broward.
Have you been to Raising Cane's? That's like a southern...
I have not been to Raising Cane's, and I've heard good things about it.
All right, I'm going to go Chick-fil-A, Raising Cane's, Popeye's, KFC. Captain Modelo asks, what did you think of Rosen's first start? Again, this was before the last game. He's talking about the Seahawks game. I thought he was good in the Seahawks game,
There's always going to be 2 weeks back.
I'm trying to maintain... Well, don't ask time-sensitive questions, guys. That's the lesson going forward. Right. It's not on
evergreen
me.
Questions going
I
forward.
I can't travel backwards in time. I thought he was actually really sharp in that game, and the receivers let him down and dropped a few passes. DMAX6 asks, would you rather give up cheese or condiments? Wow. Condiments. Jesse James... Oh, asks, how did you get into sports to make a career? Really trying to get through these quickly, guys. I'm going to answer that quickly. ESPN reached out to me when I was a business journalist. BMart2021 asks, this is the last one I'll do today, what are the perks of working at ESPN?
Wow, you are pausing way too long for a boss's liking.
It's great.
You've never been to Disney.
Free Disneyland tickets.
You've never been to Epcot.
I have been to Epcot. I was just talking to Billy outside about it for a really long time. He was like, save it for the show. These are great stories. Yeah. All right. So before we get back to the games, thank you so much for asking questions. Please rate, review, and ask more questions. And I just did. I'm going to get to them. I promise. I believe ratings and reviews help. I don't know if that's
true. Also, subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, unsubscribe.
Really?
Doing that over again. Leaving 5-star ratings. Leaving a comment.
Wait, unsubscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
Yeah, there's all sorts of like weird
tricks. Wait, let's talk after the show. Yeah, I'd like to use some of these.
And also, if you're subscribed to it and you've let a couple weeks go by, sometimes those downloads don't count. Go back and just like play it for a second, even if you're not that interested because you're a fan of Mina's. And do this with the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu God's podcast too. I know we send up 4 parts a day and it's a lot and sometimes you don't feel like it, but just play it for like a half second just so we get that play. Leave it playing on in the background while you're taking a shower. Who cares?
No idea. Can I hire bots to do what you just described?
You don't have to hire bots. That's pretty sophisticated. I just do this myself, and I get a bunch of like shadow account. No, I don't go that far. But I do the unsubscribe, subscribe, unsubscribe.
Really glad this is all on the podcast. All right, Jay Cutler, what's the next game?
Rams at Broncos.
I'm going to pretend this is Jay Cutler. So obviously the Rams are the more interesting team here, but
the Broncos are on my bleep list.
If you had to just, before we get to the Rams, if you had to summarize the identity of the Denver Broncos right now, like how would you describe them as a team? What are they good at?
Well, their identity is running the ball. Yes. I love their rushing attack.
Royce
and Lindsey, I'm a fan. They should be doing that a hell of a lot more. Their identity is running the ball really well and Case Keenum doing disastrous things.
Oof.
So many turnovers from Case Keenum. And he's a quarterback that very clearly needs everything to go right for him.
Yeah.
And even then, when everything's going right, he'll sail a game-winning pass on Monday night, 20 yards past the intended receiver into the stands. He's bad. This team is bad. Von Miller can't get to the quarterback. I think Von Miller might be hurt.
You think so?
I think he might be hurt.
Good in
I know
the first game, but
he showed up. I don't think he's had a sack in 3 games.
Yeah.
He showed up on the injury report for the first time. I wouldn't be surprised. I was combing through a bunch of like Broncos preview stuff because I struggled with, outside of saying I like the running game, what do I say about this team other than woof?
Woof.
And I don't think Von Miller's hurt. And a lot of people that follow this team they don't think that Von Miller's healthy.
I tried to do a woof. I think it was in the last podcast, but I got the inflection wrong. So it sounded like an impressed woof, like woof.
Woof.
Yeah, right, because woof can really go either way. This team is definitely a woof, woof, woof.
This is one of the least fun teams to watch on the red zone.
Oh, on the red zone, yeah. The defense is, I mean, I think you can really clearly diagnose all the reasons why they fell off from, you know, Wade Phillips leaving to that secondary kind of falling apart. Bradley Roby, who was named the number 2 after Aqib Talib left, has been an absolute disaster for them. I think he's on his 5th year option. Yeah. No. Well, they're paying him some. Yeah, he was a former first round pick. Yeah. That's crazy.
The secondary makes a lot of mistakes. Did you watch that Jets game?
I mean, it was funny because, Sam Darnold actually wasn't that great.
No.
He just had like 2 giant throws. But not only did it wasn't just like busted coverage and miscommunication. It was tackling was just really bad, which is part of the reason why Isaiah Crowell was able to bust off. Yeah, that game was just like 5 explosive plays. The run defense has been absolutely atrocious, by the way.
And here comes Todd Gurley.
We'll talk about that in a second. They are allowing 5.17 yards per rush, which is not something you want to be allowing in the NFL. So
this is going to be, I think this one
tough.
Might be a long game for them because if they're making mistakes in the secondary, then this is the absolute worst coach you could go against.
But here's the thing. You were talking about the pass rush being an issue, and right, this is a pass rush. They have Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett. I think the last 2 guys are healthy, but they should be causing problems. I mean, in the Kansas City game, they did cause problems. They were confusing the hell out of Patrick Mahomes, which is why they were able to contain him in part. They basically did 2 things. They shut down Travis Kelce, and they were just completely stunting on Patrick Mahomes, right? Just using a lot of tricky moves to keep him on his toes all game. So one would think, like, okay, if there is a defense that can do this, it might be them. But they don't really have they don't have guys who can cover, and they just don't have enough speed, I think, in the back. So I'm not optimistic about this game.
Terrible matchup.
Well, who was a good matchup for the Rams? I mean, apparently the Seahawks were a pretty good matchup.
Seahawks.
Hey. Yeah. But, I mean, this team is – so they're obviously first in DVOA. And the Rams defense, I think they're being criticized a little bit too much right now. They're 14th in DVOA, but they're – total yardage numbers are not stupendous.
They're not great against the run either, which is if Denver has a shot in this game, it's probably running the ball.
I love Sean McVay and Wade Phillips. It's like a May-December kind of thing.
It's Lethal Weapon. It's the old grizzled veteran and the new hot shot that makes them want the old grizzled veteran stick around for a while.
I was going to say Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones, but your analogy is, I was thinking, like, why isn't May-December, by the way? Like, why not January-December? Why May? Have you ever thought about that?
No, never.
But anyways, yeah, no, I think this defense is bad. So the issue is, I can't remember, but somebody was posting numbers on Marcus Peters, and they were just obviously atrocious, his ranking amongst cornerbacks. And you, Seattle, if there is a formula against the Rams defense, and but it plays into, I think, containing their offense, which is really the only thing you can do is keep them off the field. Seattle did it, right? Which is you run the ball, you string together these very long kind of bow constrictor like drives, and then you pick on Marcus Peters.
Yeah,
like, because that was really it. Seattle used a lot of play action with a lot of success because they were able to hold off the Rams. One of their dark secrets, they don't really have an outside pass rush. It's Sue and Donald, and that's kind of it, right?
Yeah.
So if you can buy some time with play action and get them worried about the run a little bit, and then you go after Peters, they put up 30.
They got rid of Quinn, which is a little curious for a team without any outside, but it's not like Quinn was really producing.
Also, extremely old.
Yeah.
I'm always talking about how, like, God, I'm, like,
You've been taken. Is this a common thread? I haven't picked up on.
He's probably like my age.
Are you marveling at how old everybody
is? He's 28? Oh, my God. I thought he was so much older. Do you think the Rams offense is better than Kansas City?
Yeah, I do.
That was quick.
I do.
That was weirdly quick.
I do.
Have you seen the Kansas City
I've
offense?
Seen the Kansas City
offense.
Offense.
What do you think? Like, why?
Here's what, because the wide receivers for Kansas City are fast, super fast, but they're short. And if they want to use Travis Kelce to do the big, tall things, fine. But as we've seen with...
That's a technical term.
The big, tall things yeah. Like fade routes in the end zone, which are a necessary evil that you probably hate.
Yeah, I truly hate them.
We've seen Kelce sort of go quiet sometimes.
Yeah. The thing about the Rams offense is, you know, we're always talking about Sean McVay and his use of pre-snap motions and the jet sweeps and how, and the deception, how that gets linebackers on their heels. But really what he does isn't that complicated, right? Like, they always use 11. They always use the same guys. They use them in interesting different ways. He's very creative with the use of wide receivers, but he's got Cooks, and who might be out, by the way, so
yeah,
that's
Cooks
an issue.
And
Cooks
Kupp might be out, too.
Who's phenomenal. But he's got these super fast guys, and he sends them deep, and then you get these huge lanes open up underneath. And Sean McVay, unlike half of the idiot offensive coordinators in the NFL, will take that 7-yard pass on first down every time. And then it's like, oh, okay, Todd Gurley only has to run 3 yards, you know? And it's so simple, and yet it works. Now, another thing that caught my eye about their offense is, in addition to obviously guys running around wide open all the time, which is immensely frustrating, they're running open in the middle of the field, which this really jumped out to me in the Clink. So last game was in Seattle years ago, and this obviously has a lot to do with the fact that Cam Chancellor used to be on this team. Whatever, you never saw guys running around the middle of the field because they would get murdered. Literally, that was like going into gang territory, like the Bloods walking into the... You did not go. And that is more about rules and stuff, right? The fact that wide receivers can now run around in that part of the field and they're not going to get destroyed because guys are afraid of invoking the helmet rule. But Sean McVay is willing to exploit that, and to great effect, I think.
I was... Maybe some people came away with that performance at Seattle, maybe a little more down on Los Angeles if you're doing the comparison thing.
Not high.
I was so impressed to be able to come back in that hostile atmosphere, an offense that had been struggling all year in Seattle, and they're finally putting up points, and they were running up the gut of the Rams, which you have in Dominican Sue and Aaron Donald.
It's impressive.
It doesn't look like that should happen, right? Which is why another reason why Denver might have a shot. But to be able to come back on the road against a Seattle team that's putting up points without Cooks, without Kupp, Teflon. They're amazing.
Do you? I mean, So Marcus Peters has obviously been a liability for them. What was the game before where he was getting picked on?
He hasn't been
the Vikings
healthy, though, right?
Were picking on him. Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. I think that might be a health issue. Some of it is his style of play, though, because, like, Marcus Peters has always been over-aggressive. And kind of like we were talking about with Ward, like, if you play, if you, like, live by the sword, you die by the sword a little bit, and he is kind of that guy. Mark Barron being back, the linebacker, is huge for them. But it'll be interesting to see how they handle him. I don't think the Broncos are going to be the team to really put that to a test. But yeah, Kupp and Brandon Cooks, them, if they were playing a better team, I might have some cause for concern. But you said I have to do predictions, right? So I don't think they're going to have any trouble with them. It's my bold take is that the Rams will easily handle the Broncos. I presume you agree.
I agree. If I were holding out any hope, it would be the rushing attack.
What's the line on this game? Oh, nope. 7-point home underdogs.
7 points even?
Yeah.
I'd take the Rams.
Yeah, I would too. Jay, what's the next game?
Chiefs at Patriots.
All right. So we said earlier this is the best game of the weekend.
Yeah.
It's probably the most exciting game. I want to start with the Chiefs before we get to the Patriots. So earlier when I was about to go into highly questionable, you asked me, were you guys talking about this on the radio show? Is that why you asked me about Mahomes and Rodgers?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers? No, this is something that we've been talking about in the breaks and it's never made it to air, but we want to do the cliche sports
radio. It's such a sport, but it's a good discussion.
If you're the Packers, do you trade Aaron Rodgers for Patrick Mahomes?
But this is actually it's like a sophisticated discussion about team building, right? It's not really like a one-for-one skill thing. Because if it was a one-for-one skill thing, I would stick with Rodgers because we don't know what Patrick Mahomes is going to look like in December when he's getting his butt kicked or whatever. But you have to take into account the $30 million salary and, you know, whatever, and his age and stuff like that. I am just bowled over by Mahomes, though, and we're having all these conversations about NFL offenses and we're like, guys are wide open and, you know, refs don't do anything or they're always over. And like these guys, and there was that Brady quote from earlier the week when he was talking about Mahomes and he was like, nowadays in the NFL, it's college style football or something. And he sounded like a little salty to me, a little jelly. But, I listened to that and I'm like, yeah, all that stuff's true. But then I watched the games and Patrick Mahomes makes really difficult throws. Like, those guys aren't wide open. Like, he's threading needles and doing crazy stuff. So
you can only get so open in the amount of time because they go deep, but they go deep quick, which is an evolution of the game that we're not used to seeing. So while they're still getting some separation because they got blazing speed, they're going so quick that these are tighter windows lately. At the beginning of the season, there were some ridiculously big windows 100%. For Mahomes to throw into it. They've tightened up as teams have gotten film.
This is recent, yes. And this is the Jags and the Broncos. They're good defenses, right, guys? So, yes, you're absolutely right. But and Mahomes didn't have his best game against Jacksonville, but the defense kind of stepped up. We'll talk about it a little bit. But it's more like Blake Bortles happened. But I guess with Mahomes, I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think can be done, I guess, to play good? I don't know.
You give Bill Belichick extra time to prepare, which he's had.
Yes,
and
true.
Bill Belichick, the book on him is he always takes away what you're best at. I'm really
curious.
What
are they best at? I think it's Kelsey. I think you got to take out Kelsey in this offense. You let Tyreek Hill's going to
really
bust.
I think what they're best at is a big play. I think
how do you take away the big play?
I think you let Kelsey kill you because it's going to be.
Oh, the Jags took out Hill, though. They really did. He wasn't like a huge factor.
Is this the fourth game? And I noticed last week.
This is the fourth game
that we've covered. And I listened to the Mike Golic Jr. podcast last week. And you guys just dropped in disguising coverages and bracket coverage so nonchalantly. And I've been Googling bracket coverage since then to know exactly. Because it was one of those things that I thought I knew what it meant, but not really. Because
it's pretty intuitive.
Yeah. Well, no, it was like a bracket. It'll look like a bracket, right? But it was just dropped in there so much. I'm like, whoa, I got to know my stuff.
Do you think you're better than Mike?
No.
No. Because Mike was talking about this big game and how he's better than Dominique. But you are not here to compete.
I know, but I'm the most self-aware of the three because I know that my position here is, again, off-ramp on the way to Sugatstown.
The Pats' defense did look a lot better. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think you're right. I mean, this is the fact that we have two different answers, I think, highlights the impossibility of the situation, which is there is no one weapon on the Chiefs. There is no one thing. Like, they really will kill you a thousand ways. Kareem Hunt is going to have a field day against this. He's still really good, you know? And then to say nothing of Andy Reid and his play design. Do you think if Andy Reid doesn't win a Super Bowl, he can still go down as one of the best coaches in NFL history?
No.
He has to win a Super Bowl.
No, I know.
What if he wins just
one? That's very first takey.
No, but it's fair. I mean, we're talking about
if he wins one, yes. Because we talk about Aaron Rodgers as the greatest ever, and he only has one. Mm-hmm. Even though him only having one is a knock. But it's a slight knock on him. Andy Reid, his reputation is that of a choker. That of a choker and someone who's bad at clock management.
Right.
And someone who's really good at this point in the season.
Yeah.
I think we saw Alex Smith's greatest game ever at Foxborough last year. This Chiefs team has had a couple of these games against these Patriots where you question the entire Patriots blueprint and say, are they done? The Chiefs have been responsible for two of those games.
Yeah.
And those are two different regimes, I think, that have done that. So I'm really curious to see, especially now that we have Salty Brady, jealous of Patrick Mahomes.
I love that narrative. Why isn't that a bigger narrative going into this game that he's salty? Because, you know, I'm like completely convinced that Brady was just jealous of Garoppolo's looks. And that's why he started, like, his skin got, like, way smoother after Garoppolo appeared and he changed his hair. And, you know, we had that whole, like, the Don Van Addis, Seth Wickersham stories, which were great. And they were like, you know, Brady wants him out. They were fantastic reporting, but I kept looking for the stuff about the looks. And, you know, it's not in there, but it seems very obvious to me that Brady is very, he's like a vampire. Like, he wants to steal his youth.
And Brady's actually throwing interceptions a little bit more.
Yeah, he's not been great, man. He's not been great. Even though the offense has looked a lot better, Brady himself, I think, has been a little bit off, which is why the return of Edelman was so enormous. Because even in the previous game against the Dolphins, where you know they were a lot better, you could see his rhythm on the middle of the field stuff, which is where he thrives and typically feasts, was off. So getting Edelman back, even though the connection wasn't quite there yet, made a huge difference. The fact that they could run more 11, that they could have those three wide receivers on the field. Gordon is still coming back online. Do you, by the way, so as someone who has had a lot of personal experience with him, not really, you're just the team you root for, he played for, actually no personal experience, you've never met the man. How do you feel about him?
I listen to the Tomahawk podcast occasionally.
Was he on it?
No, but Andrew Hawkins has personal experience with Josh Gordon, so I basically do have personal experience.
Do you think, like, the Moss stuff is overstated? Like, I know obviously there is a lot of skepticism at whether he's going to stay on the field, and who knows, but do you think that he has the potential to be huge in New England, or is that...
I mean, things end up working out for that organization, but my hot take, spelled, you know, with like the E backwards and in front of the K, is that I don't think Josh Gordon is going to be spectacular for New England. I think he's going to be what you saw against Indianapolis is the high end of the Josh Gordon experience.
Like a crazy downfield.
Well, if you give Tom Brady 25 seconds in the pocket.
That was insane.
Yeah, if you give him 25 seconds.
He had so much time.
That was so frustrating because I've gone out with this take that I don't think Josh Gordon's going to be excellent for the Patriots, which is pretty as lukewarm as you can get.
It's pretty mild, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let me make it more hot takey. I think Josh Gordon is going to be a flop.
A flop,
in New England. And I was so right until the Colts gave Tom Brady 25 seconds to throw a jump ball into double coverage.
Here's my hot take. I don't even think that pass was to Josh Gordon. Also, I was furious because I had started Edelman at the last second and subbed him in, and he was like wide open down the side of the field, and Brady was like, the one thing I say about New England is that offensive line is still incredible, and I think that's going to... you know, sustain them going into
one of the 3 a.m. texts that you woke up from me was Eric Mangini saying that Josh Gordon blew his best chance at success. And I think that's absolutely
scorching.
I think that's on the money because Cleveland would put up with all the stuff that isn't going to fly. When you think of Josh Gordon, you think of, you know, the drug suspensions and all that. That's not really his biggest problem in fitting in with New England. It's being able to go through a practice and know exactly what you're doing on a field. I think this dude's going to have very limited plays that he's going to be coming. You can only use him about like 18 snaps a game.
And that big play was obviously not on schedule. He could fit out, certainly. You know, both two teams where the offenses, I think, are undeniably better than the defenses. I think the Patriots defense has more talent than the Chiefs defense, although they do get Eric Berry back. Maybe this week, soon.
Do you think so? Because what I read about him it sounds incredibly painful. You know what he has?
No.
He has a condition in which he has a bone spur that is digging into his Achilles. Oh. And this isn't the Achilles, the bad one from last year. That's he's recovering from another Achilles injury that came that made him miss most of the season last year. I think he essentially had the New England game, right, in which he shut down Gronk and was incredible.
Yes.
And then he was out for the year.
Yes.
So he's dealing, working his way back from that Achilles injury. On the other Achilles, he's got a bone spur that is digging into his Achilles. It's a terrifying combination of words.
I was going to say bone spur. Like whenever they talk about bone chips, I'm always like really grossed out, and bone spur is up there as well. This is a team that last week, I think I coined the 7-10 split on offensive defense. They're like, you know, they're second best to the Rams and then very close to the worst in defense, which Bill Barnwell, friend of the show, tweeted recently that there are no teams that are in the top 10 in both. So there's like a distinct lack of balance in the NFL right now. And I was trying to think of teams that might finish with that level of balance. And it's really, really hard because most offensive teams are terrible on defense and vice versa. The Chiefs,
Browns.
You know, it's totally feasible. Totally. They're one of the teams. I would actually throw the Chargers, their opponent,
Chargers.
In the mix as a potential team there. I think the Rams, the defense could improve. They certainly have the talent. I don't think the Chiefs defense is going to improve even if Barry's back. I don't know why, if it's like a symmetry thing or what, but I prefer balanced teams. Like
Cincinnati's another one of those teams that could work
yes,
their way in there.
Yes. Possibly, yeah. I mean, if Dalton keeps playing at his level, I like that. I like it when teams have a pretty good offense and a pretty good defense than like a great one. And it's like when you see a couple and the guy is like way better looking than the girl or the girl. That always bothers me. And I know. I feel like I should, not for, like, it doesn't matter the gender, you can flip them, but like, or you can make both genders, but I'm just.
Where are you going with this? No, you dig yourself out.
Just saying that I like balance. No, okay, here, let me put this, forget the looks. One thing that really bothers me is seeing a couple where one person is way taller than the other.
Okay, that's better.
Like a really tall guy and a really short girl, really tall girl and a really, which you never see, and a short guy, because I feel like they're making things harder for the rest of the world.
Right.
Like that really tall girl.
Like my wife and I.
You're not that tall. Don't flatter yourself.
I got a foot.
You're normal. You're normal tall. No, but like when I see.
I got my lifts in here.
When I see,
I have plantar fasciitis, and I appear an inch taller than I actually am now.
Bones first. When I see a 6'8" like guy and a 5'2" girl, I'm like, that's some 5'4" guy out there could really use her. Like you are depriving. Where did I lost the script? Oh, I just wanted to quickly, before we move on, I just want to talk about the Chiefs defense for a second, because they did look a lot better against the Jags.
Against Bortles.
And quietly, the pass rush has not been terrible. D Ford has really broken out this year. Houston has been.
D Ford has broken out in that no one is guarding him. All his sacks are just like, surprise. What does D Ford do except that?
But I saw a tweet that they have maybe like, I think the best pass rush in the NFL on third down, which feels fluky.
That is. Because you're going to pass because you're already down 24 points to us.
Regress. They picked up D Ford's fifth year option, and maybe if he has a great season, they'll regret it because they'll have to pay him.
You're obsessed with how old everybody is. Like the names on this team. Tom Bahali.
Tom Bahali's still on the team. Wow.
Is he? I just assumed because he's been there.
He was
Alan Bailey from the U.
Yeah.
He's still there.
That's rough. Yeah, Tom Bahali is a free agent. So.
Okay, wow.
I remember last year he was complaining about not getting playing time. Anyways.
Well, keep complaining.
This is actually, I think, a pretty difficult game to pick for all the aforementioned reasons. The Belichick factor, Brady being jealous of Mahomes' youth is going to motivate him to play. So I get it. I mean, it's in Kansas City, though, right?
Actually?
Some really solid prep by me.
I know. Justin Houston still in Kansas City, too.
Well, he's actually been a bit of a difference maker. No, it's in New England. Oh,
yeah, I assume
in Kansas City. I would definitely pick Kansas City, but I don't know.
I should have bounced back at you. No, because it's really weird for the Chiefs to be at Foxborough, considering that they were at Foxborough to open up the season last year.
Yeah, on that, right. Yeah.
Which is a little weird, but we're coming off back-to-back seasons where Pittsburgh just opened up at Cleveland both seasons consecutively. It's weird. You can cut all of this out. You should cut all of this out. I'm not here to tell you
how
to produce.
I'll go Chiefs. Just give me the answer. Don't cut it out. The people need to learn. What do you got? Who you got?
I have, this one's so tough. I've, here's a shameful admission. I have bet against the Chiefs every week.
I picked against them last week. I picked the Jags, and I look stupid.
I have gone against the Chiefs every week. Not straight up, but in terms of what the spread is. If Bill Belichick can't find a way to weaken Kansas City with extra time to prepare, and if I can't trust in the Tom Brady is angry narrative,
the youthful jealousy factor,
then everything that I know about football over the last two decades is coming to an end. So I'm going to go with Bill Belichick with extra time and the Patriots because it's a primetime game, and very few quarterbacks go in and win this game. I think Prime Kaepernick won this game when he was electric.
Yes. Oh, that was a sick game.
Yeah, that was an incredible game. And if Patrick Mahomes can do that, this is a final test for me where I say, okay, kids, absolutely the real deal.
I'm already there, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm late
up,
to it.
Catch up, baby.
Yeah. I know. I'm late to it.
All right. Final game. Hit it, Jay.
Eagles at Giants.
Wow, he was really enthusiastic on that one. No, like, way more.
That was the most Jay Cutlery of the actual Cutler cuts. That one might have been Jay Cutler.
Okay. So, I want to talk about the Giants first, because during the last game, the Panthers game, I tweeted a screenshot on my, I don't know if you watched, we had a draft show in the spring, and when the Giants took Saquon Barkley, I was dramatic, you know, and I kind of melted down and tore out my hair and said, this is stupid, you guys are idiots. And I didn't say that, but I was like, this is a terrible pick, you should have taken a quarterback.
You did that with Josh Allen.
Yeah, well, I'm feeling actually pretty fine, but I'm not catching any L's on that yet. Bills fans, get at me. I didn't say that was stupid. I just, you know, I wouldn't have traded up for it anyways. So during this Giants, I want to say maybe 3/4 of the way through, I tweeted a screenshot and I was like, where are all the Giants? I was feeling like I had two beers, you know, I was like, so I
should. Oh, two beers.
Yeah. You know me.
You were feeling
so,
it.
You know, and I only had like three chicken tenders. So I was rolling. And I tweeted that, and I was like, Giants fans, where you at in my mentions now? Immediately, Eli Manning throws like a 30-yard touchdown pass, followed by a two-point conversion. I basically guarantee that would happen, but I'm not taking any L's. I still think I'm right, and it feels like everyone kind of agrees now that taking Saquon Barkley, who's been fine, he's been a little bit dependent on chunk plays, not like super consistent. I still think he's good, which was kind of, Todd Gurley's rookie season was a lot like that as well. That said, it's very evident to me that they should not have taken him, right? And do you, like, how could you disagree with
me? I mean, well, Saquon's been very good. And I'm not going to solely disagree with you, but if I were to cape up and take the Saquon side.
Which is the no quarterback side.
Which more is, well, it's not side. Exactly. I think the bigger problem is not that you didn't get Sam Darnold over Saquon Barkley. It's that you didn't, dude, you went into a preseason with Davis Webb as your backup option. At least, if you're not going to get Sam Darnold, get a Mason Rudolph. Get a high-ceiling guy.
That was shocking.
Do you know who the backup quarterback is for the New York Giants right now?
It's not Davis Webb.
No, he got cut.
Kyle Lauda. No, he's on New England.
No, it's something called Alex Tanny.
Who's Alex Tanny?
It's something called Alex Tanny. And I think I think it's T-A-N-N-E-Y.
I'm looking at him. Keep talking.
Yeah, so I think if you're going to go the Saquon route, and Saquon, to his credit, has played to the level of a number two overall pick, then you gotta at least get a quarterback that's going to push Eli Manning some. And I know the first takey thing to do is say, Kaepernick, this is such a great Kaepernick spot. And yes, but how about instead of worrying about getting something better than Eli Manning, if that's really going to be your strategy and you want to cape up for Eli Manning and give him weapons, then why don't you get somebody better than Davis Webb? Why don't you get somebody better than Alex Tanny?
Yeah.
Why don't you draft a quarterback if it's not in the first round? Hell, second round? Is that too much to ask?
Yeah. I'm going to lay off this age thing soon, but Alex Tanny is 30.
Well, he's clearly the future there.
QB of the future, like Taysom Hill. 28-year-old Taysom Hill is the quarterback of the future for New Orleans. Or Teddy, man. I really wanted them to make a run at Teddy. Yeah. I like, there was a little bit of, you know, crosstown. Maybe they won't do it, but like, not only because during the Saints game, I was like, man, I wish Teddy was somewhere where he could play because he was really excellent during the preseason, but because he is an actual quarterback of the future. He's really young.
They should get a quarterback because of the salary cap ramifications, because that's a cheat code. That's a Russell Wilson template.
Yes.
The Rams are doing that.
Shoot your
now.
Shot, man. Yeah. Like maybe it won't work out, but
yeah. But it, Saquon's been good. It's
well, he's just, yeah, he's
it, well, he's been more than good.
It's a tough. I mean, look, like so. In 2017, the Giants averaged just over 24 rushing attempts per game, 3.9 yards per carry. This year, they're averaging under 20, and it's 3.8 yards per carry. Now, again, that's not Saquon Barkley's fault. I'm not blaming him for that. It's this team is falling behind. You got Eli Manning, you know, having to try to throw themselves to cover. Like, that's, and I don't think this offensive line has been what it was cracked up to be after they paid Nate Solder and drafted Will Hernandez. DJ Fluker, they let go, has actually been extremely good. In Seattle. I'm always making it about Seattle. Yeah. But
you think Eric Flowers somehow becomes good?
No, they cut him!
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but now that he's gone.
Do you think he becomes a fluker?
Do you think he gets picked up? He's
Rosenhaus says there's a lot of teams interested.
Yeah, probably Seattle. I don't know. I just think, yeah, I'm with you on your take. Like, there should have been some quarterback.
Right. The sexy conversation is you should have taken Darnold, but okay, that's not.
Forget Darnold. Take whoever. Take yeah. Jackson. Take Allen even. Trade, I don't
well,
care.
Trade up and
do something.
Trade up and get Lamar Jackson, I think is.
Sure. Probably you didn't have to.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a boring take, but it's okay. It is what it is. They got Saquon. Are you really prepared to go into a season in which if Eli Manning doesn't work, your best option is Alex Tanny? And that, to me, is it's not so much they didn't get Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. It's they didn't get Kevin Hogan, for Christ's sakes.
Kevin Hogan. Who is the
Which would be an upgrade.
Brogbot. Who's the...
Oh, Brogan.
Brogan, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he... No, he's still on the roster, right? He's the number three?
No.
Oh, no,
well,
where is he?
He might be back. I know that he took a meeting with Tampa. He took a meeting with Tampa. I occasionally...
Surprise, you didn't text me that. Well, this is a divisional matchup. It's a bad division, by the way. And there, because it's a bad division is the number one reason why I think the Eagles need to go all out here, because to me, they're clearly the best team. They should. And you know, obviously they've been struggling and everyone's kind of freaking out because of,
yeah, what's going on?
So I've been thinking about that a lot. Okay. Like, what's wrong with the Eagles? And it's very hard for people to describe because it's like a lot of tiny things. It's like death by a thousand cuts. Like, they're just slightly worse at everything. To be quite frank, the pass rush was really good against Minnesota, actually. They were Kirk Cousins on his butt the entire game. But before that game, it had not been good. And they have the third worst pressure percentage in the NFL right now. But that's going to go up. And it has gone up a little bit. And Nagata was out. And they've got guys coming back from injury. I think Brandon Graham took a second to kind of come all the way back from his injury. Obviously, well, Wentz,
you haven't
Jeffrey,
said back online. You have to say back online. That's a bootleg trademark.
Why everyone keeps making fun of me for saying, is that not like a normal term?
I've started incorporating it into my vernacular.
It's a very like businessy thing actually to say.
Coming back online. Why is Michael Bennett allowed to wear a uniform like that? I have one note for the Eagles. I have two notes. What's going on Bennett allowed to wear that?
Their punter pads, I believe. I remember because this is obviously a question in Seattle every single, he's been doing this in
it's
his
a mess though. Now he's like cutting off like his pants. Like, he has like a slit down the middle, like I guess he doesn't want that them bothering the back of his knees.
It's I think the secondary is a huge issue. Obviously teams have been throwing at Jalen Mills and just destroying him. City Jones has not been great so far. On the other side of the ball, the offensive line, they benched Stephen Wisniewski. I just tried to say it really quickly because I obviously don't know how to say his last name. Put in Isaac Simolo. Another name I don't want to say, but there's, you know, they're not all the way there. And Carson Wentz actually has been pretty good to me. I think he's fine, but he's still coming back. So it's like a lot of little things. They had like a ton of weird penalties. Okay. Like that's not a sexy, fun thing to say about a team. Like discipline, but it's true. All that said, they don't have a running back now. Ajayi's out. Smallwood's not at every down back.
Yeah.
I think they should trade for Le'Veon Bell. Am I crazy? Like, do you disagree with that? Because it seems to be a controversial, like, not everyone agrees. To me, it seems like a no-brainer.
It seems like a no-brainer
to okay,
me, too, because
good.
This is a team that just won the Super Bowl. So it's not like, should we or shouldn't we? Are we on the cusp? Are we for real? You know you're for real. You got the Super Bowl championship
got
a few months ago.
Well, that's another thing. They lost their coordinator and stuff. But Peterson used to call plays anyway, so they should be fine there.
Yeah, with what sort of jumping out, a patient runner might not be the worst thing in the world for that offense.
Yes.
So, yeah, they should absolutely go for it. In trying to break down this game, it seems as though the season on the line game is for Philadelphia this week.
Ooh. Backs and against the wall? Would you say they're backs against the wall?
See, you're laying the Sugats traps in an effort to get them in the next few weeks. So you're doing a good job. I think that game already came and went for New York.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they lost by a 63-yard field goal.
Quit.
So
Close up shop.
Who do you trust to win a really important game? The Super Bowl champions or that mess and well, Pat Shurmur?
So with Bell, it would obviously be a rental. They're not going to pay him. This is a team that's 32nd in cap space next year. Mm-hmm. Like, would they probably have to give up like a second or a third, right? Because if the Steelers hold on to him and they let him walk, Steelers is another team that needs him, right? So they're weighing, it's all a calculation of if they let him walk, they could get a comp pick, possibly a third, but it depends on whether they acquire any free agents. Like, do you think it would be worth it for Philadelphia to give up a second round pick, let's put it there, for, you know, just half a season plus the postseason of Le'Veon?
And Philadelphia would get a compensatory pick.
If he walks, yeah. Yeah, well, again, walks, it depends on what they do in free agency,
so
but yeah.
It's not truly like you're losing a second round pick.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. They're in go for it mode.
Yeah.
They already won. You now have the championship DNA.
The championship DNA.
Yeah,
you're
you
reverse.
Now, you now
God's
have
scrapping.
You now have the championship DNA. You have the faith that things are going to go well for you, just because they've worked out for you in the past. Absolutely, go for Le'Veon because Smallwood's not that kind of back. Clement, I like a lot, and he can do some of the things in the passing game that Le'Veon could. But Le'Veon's a very special player. Everyone's getting all hot and bothered saying Le'Veon kind of played himself because Connor's been really good rushing and put up some performances that even Le'Veon can't put on the ground. But he gives you so much more than just rushing.
Yeah.
I would love to see Le'Veon Bell on the Doug Peterson offense.
Oh,
would love to
that
see
would
it.
Be really interesting.
Yeah,
too,
because
right?
I
yeah.
think they would get him out in space and he would actually wait for his blocks too. And that would be a sort of nightmare.
Yes. And then without Sproles, they could use him more as a receiver too. I think it would just be really nice for Carson Wentz to have that outlet. And I can't remember if it was Jason. Yeah, it was Jason Peters. I think it was, you know, the offensive line has been criticized. He was like, well, Carson's been holding on to the ball kind of like subtly. Or he was just like, we got to buy more time. I don't know. It was weird.
Jason,
it was
didn't
weird.
Didn't he get hurt last year, Jason Peters?
It was weird.
On the way to the Super Bowl?
He did, yes.
They did this without.
That's why I started picking against the Eagles every single
saying?
Game.
They also did it without Carson Wentz. So
yeah,
what am
right.
I saying?
Actually, yeah, right. But actually, Carson Wentz he's been getting rid of it pretty quickly. So I think it would just be kind of a jolt. It's like such a cliche. I'm not, you know what I mean? But I do think they have been using the running backs in the receiving game, but they haven't been giving them as many carries as they probably need to keep that offense on schedule.
Listen to what we're saying. We're worried about them being able to survive the loss of Jay Ajayi, and they have to go out and get Le'Veon Bell when they win the Super Bowl without Jason Peters and without Carson Wentz.
And they're in, I don't want to say it's the most winnable division in football right now, but.
This is going to be the ugly 8-8. Team is going to, on week 17, is going to be flexed.
Yes.
Because at 8-8, they have a shot to win the division.
I know. We're going to have to watch, like.
And it's going to be Alex Smith.
Terrible. Okay. Well, So I'm going Philadelphia in this game, but I'd like to see them make that trade.
It's a tough thing for road favorites to win on a short week, but I think, like I said, I'm just going to trust Philadelphia to win the game that they absolutely have to get over the Giants.
All right. Now, final segment.
Okay.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Thank you. Okay, so I just have 5 quick questions for you.
All right.
It's pretty easy. Question number 1. Do you have a second favorite team to the Browns? Like another NFL team that you have?
Another NFL team that's my second favorite team? Aaron Rodgers is my second favorite team.
But don't you get frustrated watching the Packers?
Yes. No, I love Aaron, and cover your ears. Your coach has betrayed you.
Oh, God, you guys
your
always with this.
Coach has betrayed you.
He's been sassy, by
yeah,
the way,
he's
this
been
season.
He was sassy last season,
but he's
season
getting
too.
Sassier,
he's
I
been,
think.
And yeah, no, he's getting defensive, as yeah. he damn well should be. Aaron Rodgers is my second favorite football team, followed by, honestly, I really like watching Russell Wilson, too. So I don't
really?
Have, yeah, I don't. I guess it would be the Packers and Seahawks in that grouping just because, but I support the quarterbacks.
Because you like the quarterbacks, yeah. It's like basketball style. I've always liked the Browns, by the way. They've always been like a second team to me. Because I like the fans. Like, I just respect that.
You don't think we're wishy-washy?
No. If you stuck with them in any regard, like, God bless you. Second question. This is for Levitar listeners. Which member of the shipping container would you bring with you if you had to get in a fight and you need someone to back you up?
Fat Chris.
Really?
Yeah.
Over Roy?
Fat Chris,
and Billy?
Because I've seen Fat Chris rise to the occasion anytime we do any sort of physical challenge.
Other than the race, what other physical challenges?
He's raced everybody.
Okay.
And he's a pretty decent athlete. He got a hit off of Matt Latos. You know that, right?
No, I did not.
He got a hit off of Matt Latos.
Is he, like, strong?
He's got deceptive height. We know the deceptive speed already. It's not so deceptive. Now everyone's game planning for it.
He does have deceptive height.
He was telling me the other day, and I was shocked. He says he's taller than Drew Brees. I was like, no. But sure enough, he's taller than Drew Brees.
Who do you like better, me or Pablo? Just kidding. You don't have to answer that. No, but really, I want to know. No, you don't have to answer. You can tell me later after the show. No, but I do want to know. But just tell me. Wink if it's me.
It's Foxworth.
Okay. So our dogs, Roma and Lenny, have never met. Do you think if they met, would they like each other and would they date?
Oh, man. I my dog can't really meet other dogs.
What?
Yeah, it's sad.
Oh, that was way louder.
She's got an immune disorder
that
she had when she was a puppy. So we can't really, it makes me really sad. We can't take her to dog parks.
So she's like a bubble boy.
Kind of.
Could you put her, like, that would be so cute if you put her in a bubble and rolled her around the dog park.
Yeah. I would love to. I get really sad because she's on the leash, and whenever she sees another dog, she's like crazy.
She's
she
like,
just wants to
that?
Play with other dogs.
Do you think she knows like how to act around them then? Like,
she gets a lot of energy around it. She's got one of these really slender frames, so I get worried. But she's got like one of these immune systems that we had to suppress her immune system. So if she gets like a rabies shot, it won't just like cure. It won't be preventative measure. It'd actually give her rabies.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's like one of those teen novels where like, you know, it's kind of sickness. Lenny's not very good with other dogs in my presence. This is like an adopted dog thing. I don't take it either like as a negative or a positive. He's very bad around other dogs when I'm there. But then when I leave him at the dog park and then I see video or something, I think I told you that one time he led a hump train. Like he's like the alpha. And when I show up there, they're always like, all the dogs love Lenny. And I'm like, that's crazy. I don't get to see that. But it's painful for me. What is your best Halloween costume that you've ever had?
Best Halloween costume that I ever had. I was Rick Pitino. And I just looked like a vampire. Who had clothes undone to the point that it was like, okay, but it was only like 12 seconds.
Super offensive. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, God. By the way, I just introduced the term hump train into this podcast without explaining it, so I just want to back that up. Professional podcasting. To be specific, he led a train of dogs humping each other, and he was in the back. Okay. Final question. What is your worst memory as a Browns fan?
Oh, the one playoff game. Chris Fumata-Maafala scoring a touchdown. Kelly Holcomb dropping back to pass, finding a wide open Andre King, who slips on a terrible field, that was covered in snow and mud, couldn't get out of bounds in time. That to me, also losing the team and that team moving to Baltimore, winning two Super Bowls.
Bonus question. Do you think you would get too nervous if you guys had Baker Mayfield on the show? Like, would you be?
I would get starstruck.
Unprofessional.
I don't get starstruck.
I know that's why. Ever. That's why I'm asking you this. I've
seen
you with more famous
ever.
People, but I know how you are about him.
I thought I would be that way with Aaron Rodgers when he called in, and he was such a cool guy that I was immediately comfortable. I thought I'd be nervous when he called in, and
he's pretty chill.
Shot the bleep with him, and he was really, really fun.
Wow.
Baker is already getting to that point, and Baker's sort of starting to transcend sports a little bit, and I say that because.
Stop.
I've been a Browns fan all my life, and I've been with my wife for 16 years, and she has never cared to watch a Cleveland Browns game. Never. I don't know if it's Hard Knocks, but she is in on Baker Mayfield, and she's finally watching Browns games with me. So it's a big deal. I text her, "Hey, Baker did this." I send her stills from Instagram stories that Baker had. I'm like, "Can you believe he had 16 kills in Fortnite?"
You send those to me too, and I don't want to see them. All right, before we hit the music, record production for the season. For the Browns.
For the Browns.
Yeah, clearly.
I think 6 wins.
Just 6 wins? You're undershooting. You don't really think. I know you think they're going to win more.
We're never going to lose a home game.